What does it mean to be a Christian woman in our feminized secular society? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Ladylike, Living Biblically. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Ladylike, Living Biblically by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A Voice for Lutheran Women, Ladylike, Living Biblically, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May. Well, if you don't understand it, that's a rather famous incident of dueling tongues, glossolalia, speaking in tongues between two Christian preachers, rather famous ones, by the way, Rodney Howard Brown and good old Kenneth Copeland on the stage, dueling tongues, laughing, slapping each other on the back, speaking in a language that no one, including themselves, understand. Is that what was happening on Pentecost Day when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles? They spoke in other languages. They were heard in other languages by people who were not native speakers of their language. How is this, these uneducated men of Galilee speaking in tongues? Is that what's happening in the rest of the book of Acts when we find people speaking in tongues? And Paul will later in 1 Corinthians make reference to gifts of the Spirit. He will name tongues among them. He will say, I speak in tongues more than the rest of you. What is that gift? What was it? Does it persist today, and especially in the form that is claimed? I kind of lost control of my tongue and things started falling out of my mouth view of speaking in tongues. Is it supported by a single passage of Scripture? Joining us to respond to evangelical proof texts on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 26th, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Devotions. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Okay. How did we get to the point here where two rather famous televangelists can stand on a stage and kind of do a comedy bit? At least they thought it was hilarious. I mean, the two guys are laughing, Rodney Howard Brown, Kenneth Copeland, bantering back and forth in tongues. No one there had any idea what they were saying. I don't think they did either, but they did think it was hilarious. In the name of the Holy Spirit's work.
Yeah, I wish I knew better the history of this whole business, but it's just getting worse and worse. And the charismatic church will tell you that, because they will look back in history and they will identify what they call waves of the Spirit. So the church had basically, in the charismatic view of history, lost the Holy Spirit, and then he started to return a couple hundred years ago in these kind of intensified waves of bringing these spiritual gifts to life, and they get more and more intense, and that's what we see now. So that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, at least according to the charismatics, gets crazier and crazier and less like anything that we would recognize as church. So you have the blessing that's poured out in Toronto. You have the Pensacola revival. You have all these places where the Holy Spirit comes with this great intensity, and he manifests, apparently, the Spirit would manifest itself in this understanding by making people do things that they never would do on their own.
Now, we often approach this by kind of going back to the primary passages and this is a good approach, very carefully saying what exactly was happening, what were Paul, Peter, the other apostles in the case of Pentecost, Paul later, obviously, and then the other people that we find speaking in tongues in the book of Acts. We analyze the text very carefully to see what was going on. When we do that as kind of a beginning point, what do we find happening there?
Well, the first thing is to notice, so the chief incidents and the text that we should use to understand the phenomenon of speaking in tongues is the Pentecost text, Acts chapter 2, where the apostles of Jesus, the 11, were gathered in the upper room, and 10 days after the ascension of Jesus, 50 days after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit is poured out as promised by Jesus, and the result is that these 11 disciples, apostles of Jesus, are able to preach in languages that they don't know. So there were people from all over the world, really, gathered there in Jerusalem, and they were able to hear the gospel. So tongues is speaking in a language that the people who are preaching do not know. It's not their native language, and it's to speak the wonderful works of God to those who need to hear it. And if we just take that as the understanding of what tongues is, then we can start to make sense of all the other instances, the three other instances in the book of Acts, and also what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. But the chief thing is to know is that they're speaking in a real language, in a real human language. The only difference is that they don't know that language.
So this isn't some spiritual language. It isn't some angelic language. It is a human language intended to be heard by someone who does speak that language, to be heard, understood, and in the case of, that Paul will talk about later, interpreted for those who don't know that language.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why Paul will, in 1 Corinthians 14, always require an interpretation, because you have to understand what is happening. This is the opposite of the way that the charismatic church uses it. If you don't understand it, then it proves that it's spiritual. But that's nonsense. I mean, it literally is nonsense. And that's not how the Lord works. As if the gift of tongues, and this is really the charismatic understanding of it, the gift of tongues becomes a sign that you are a Christian. And that is never how it's given to us in the Scripture. In fact, it's very, very few people who are even able to speak in the gift of tongues. It's certainly not a gift that belongs to every Christian.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We'll come back to that very point when we come back, and he's got an excellent thought about this, and it has to do with what we do know the Spirit produces in man, in addition to all the other gifts. The fruit of the Spirit, among those manifold facets of the fruit, is one, self-control. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. We're responding to evangelical proof texts on this Tuesday, May 26th, Acts 2 and other passages, speaking in tongues.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues, Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to Evangelical Proof Text today, Acts chapter 2, Speaking in Tongues. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Brian, you said that the purpose of speaking in tongues, it was established at the very first instance in Acts chapter 2, helps us understand what's going on in every other instance in the book of Acts, which you say, which you've emphasized before the break, and I want you to expand on that a little bit. How relatively rare it is among the believers. We have, we have probably 10,000 believers by Acts chapter 3 or 4, and that's just in the environs of Jerusalem that very quickly begins to move out from there. We're talking about many, many believers, a vast majority of them unnamed, and no real accounting of a universal tongues in the book of Acts. What are your thoughts there?
In fact, there's four times where we see the book of Acts the manifestations of tongues, and two of them. One is Pentecost, we mentioned before. The other one is Acts chapter 10, when the Holy Spirit gives this gift of tongues to the men of Cornelius' house who believe, and Peter sees this and he says, well, how can I not baptize them with water then? That's an amazing text. It's so important because the Holy Spirit, the other two times that the tongues is mentioned in the book of Acts, it's at the hands of the apostles. So the Lord Jesus, because he directly called the apostles, he gives them the gift of miracles to show that they are called immediately and therefore are authorized to speak the Lord's word. And the gift of tongues is a sign given to the apostles' hands. But here in Acts chapter 10, it's not. The Holy Spirit gives them the gift of tongues so that Peter will baptize them with water. So that we see even in that place that the gift of tongues is a servant to the baptism of water, and every person in the book of Acts who believes in Jesus is baptized with water. Now, there's a charismatic move to say, hey, you have water baptism, but we have spirit baptism. But the opposite is true biblically, namely that every Christian has the great treasure of water baptism, and the Lord will even go through the extreme work of giving the gift of tongues to those who hadn't been baptized so that they would be baptized in the Lord's name with water. So this is a very, a very important thing to consider when we're reading the book of Acts and reading it carefully, that the emphasis is on the preaching of the gospel and the gift of baptism.
Now, you have an interesting thought. I don't think I've ever heard anybody approach it this way, because very often what goes along with the charismatic/Pentecostal version of tongues today is a kind of ecstatic experience. Almost out of body, but certainly an altered state of consciousness that it is believed is sometimes necessary for the manifestation of the tongues gift. And you say that runs contrary to the very clear teaching on how the Spirit works and what the Spirit gives in Scripture. How so?
Well, the first thing to say is that the tongues as it's manifested today is nothing like it was in the book of Acts and nothing like the Bible is talking about. It's something completely different. And the easiest way to see this, I think, and an argument that I also never have heard, but I think it's one of the clearest ways to argue this point, is to look at the fruit of the Spirit that Paul delineates in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. There's nine fruits that he lists: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is working and present and active, he is giving you an increased degree of self-control. He's certainly not taking away your self-control. But this is how the charismatic church would like to see the Holy Spirit manifested, by stealing control of yourself, almost as if you are possessed by something else. Your will has been lost, and you have completely lost control. So in tongues, can you control it or not? This is one of the questions that we want to ask. And especially in the crazier charismatic manifestations, where people are laughing uncontrollably, where they're being slain in the spirit, where they're barking with dogs, if anybody is losing self-control, then it's a sign that the Holy Spirit is not there with his fruits, but rather the evil spirits are there who are trying to steal away your self-control and put you under their own control. So we can say, when we look at the manifestation of tongues where people lose control of themselves, that it is clearly an evidence not of the presence of the Holy Spirit, but of the absence of the Holy Spirit.
What do we find in the book of Corinthians? You've kind of led us nicely to Paul's rather harsh admonitions for those who were already in the first century doing something with tongues that the Spirit had not given them to do.
Yeah, Paul, it seems like tongues had already become a problem in Corinthians by the time Paul is writing to them. So they must have evidently received the gift of tongues by the hands of Paul, as happened in a few different places. So a few of them had the ability to speak in different languages. It makes a little bit of sense in Corinth, because that would have been a town where there would have been people coming from all over. And so to be able to preach the gospel to the strangers that were coming in there, that the Holy Spirit would give that gift until he could call and baptize believers who did have the ability to speak in those languages of the people, and to give them time to learn it. So it seems like the Holy Spirit had given the gift of tongues, and the church in Corinth had simply run away with it, and they were using that to boast in their spirituality. I speak in tongues, and that would make them better than those people who didn't speak in tongues. Now, this unfortunately is exactly the same thing that the devil has worked in the charismatic church today with the gift of tongues. And they'll say, if you speak in the gift of tongues, you have the Holy Spirit. If you do not, then you do not have the Holy Spirit. So now this becomes a source of pride and confidence for the Christians, rather than a humble service to the neighbor.
Now, you said earlier that it's not the same kind of thing, but perhaps we should be even more clear here when it comes to tongues then and tongues today. Is the vast majority of what passes for tongue speaking today in evangelical / charismatic circles, is it what the Holy Spirit gave there in these biblical accounts?
No, absolutely not. And the easiest way to see it, I mean, besides from the lack of self-control, and besides the fact that it's never a matter of interpretation, the easiest way to see that it's not the Holy Spirit's work is because whatever people are saying in tongues is never the gospel. In other words, the doctrine that someone gives, if you manage to get a tongue and you manage to get an interpretation, the thing that's being said there is not that sins are being forgiven. It's all Moses and no Jesus. It's all law and it's no gospel. And it's never any helpful law either. It's always some sort of life advice or some sort of kind of prophetic thing. It's like Christian fortune telling. It's really an abomination. It is the opposite of what Jesus would have us do. I mean, we look in the book of Acts, and the people who hear all of these apostles preaching in these different languages, it says, we hear in our own tongues the marvelous works of God. In other words, we're hearing about the death and the resurrection of Jesus, what Peter preaches then in Acts 2 for us all to understand. But never, ever do you hear the gospel preached by anyone who's speaking in tongues today. It's always some other kind of nonsense.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're responding to Evangelical Proof Text. It's Tuesday, May the 26th. He'll be with us until the top of the hour, in hour two of Issues, Etc. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll be walking through the propers for this coming Sunday, which is the Sunday of the Holy Trinity. Stay tuned.
Today, the biblical account of creation is under attack in the popular media, in our schools, and even many churches and seminaries.
Dr. David Menton of Answers in Genesis, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We are told that the evidence for evolution is so compelling that the church and its clergy and teachers must accept evolution or be dismissed as fools. But I will show that the scientific case for evolution is not compelling, and that evolution is incompatible with biblical Christianity and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You can hear and meet Dr. David Menton making the case for creation Friday, June 19th and Saturday, June 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to Evangelical Proof Text, Speaking in Tongues, Acts chapter 2, and other passages with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Folks, we're 23 days away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We currently have 327 attendees. That's almost the total number of people who attended the conference last year. Now, this conference this year is limited to 400 people. With 24 days left, that's going to fill up pretty quickly. Don't wait to register. Speakers include Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Chris Rosebro, Paul Meyer, Jonathan Fisk, Pastor Will Wheaton, and Dr. David Menton. Registration is $100. It includes three meals. It's the premier conference for the laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 19th, Saturday, June the 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 19th and the 20th right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Pastor Wolfmiller, when we look back at what was given then and then we compare it to what is claimed today, as you said before the break, we're dealing with two completely different things. One is given by the Spirit, the other is generated by, I guess the best we could say, is human enthusiasm of some kind. Does the gift of tongues, genuine tongues, still exist today?
For most of the time in the church, we've said the answer is no to that, and I'm sympathetic to that. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, that tongues will cease. And so we have a promise in the Scripture that there will be a time when the speaking in tongues will end. And the church has normally understood that to be the end of the apostolic age and the canonization of the Scriptures. That's labeled by the charismatics as a cessationist view, and they, you know, spit and rail against it. That, I think I could hold that. Although, I think that... There might, in my mind, and this might be a question, I think there could possibly be occasion where the Holy Spirit would manifest Himself in extreme circumstances with this kind of miracle. Just like sometimes I think the Lord can, if He wants to, heal people. It's not connected to an office, or it's not any sort of promised thing, but the Lord will just kind of intervene and do this sort of thing. And so I don't want to say that that couldn't happen, but I know that whatever the charismatic church now claims to be speaking in tongues is certainly nothing like what the Scripture talks about. I mean, the way that that is presented to us in the evangelical church and the charismatic church, not only is it and not what the Holy Spirit promises in the Word, but it is the opposite of what the Holy Spirit promises. I mean, it's bringing confusion and not unity. It's bringing uncertainty where the Lord would want to bring certainty. And it's another manifestation. This is kind of the mark of evangelicalism in American Christianity. Is it because they do not have the sacraments, the certainty of the promises that Jesus gives to us in baptism and the Lord's Supper, then they're searching around for some sort of way to find certainty apart from God's promised means. And the charismatic church, almost by definition, has settled on this loss of control in the speaking of strange mumbo-jumbo as the mark of the certainty of salvation. And it's just despairing.
But you know, it plays into another kind of hallmark of evangelicalism, and that is I don't think it would be an unfair when we say the goal of the worship experience is some sort of ecstatic, or at least ecstasy, but some sort of ecstatic frame of mind. Even if you're not in a tongue-speaking congregation, they're still aiming for that kind of hovering on the edge of the real experience that it has come to define worship. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, that's exactly right, because I mean, remember, the evangelical church has this strange anthropology or doctrine of humanity. So it would say that man is a sinner, but that his will is free, but his will is weak and open to manipulation. And so the point of worship is to manipulate the will into doing something good. And you just have to keep going with that. I mean, you're trying to move people, trying to stir people up, trying to get people excited, Well, I think move is the right word. You're trying to move them according to their will, and you just take another step past that, and you've moved people past their will. You've moved them into a state of ecstasy. I mean, this has been a long-standing critique of a lot of contemporary worship, that the repetition is there to work you into an altered state of consciousness. And I remember one time on the radio show we were talking about this, and we had a hypnotist call in or write in to us and to explain that this is precisely what is happening, that the repetitiveness of contemporary worship and the ups and the downs of it puts people into an altered state like hypnosis, so that you become hyper-suggestible. And that, I think, is probably the best way to understand tongues. I mean, it's either a complete a manipulation of a person's will, or it's the direct influence of the demons. Those are really the only two possibilities that we have. And so I think the best thing to say is that it's a bunch of people really worked up.
With about 30 seconds here, what's at stake here? What's the ultimate danger of what is called tongues today in terms of the proclamation of the gospel? 30 seconds, Brian.
Well, it is always what the danger is when someone is stealing from us the comfort of God's word and sacraments, and that is our confidence is in ourselves. The confidence is in my spiritual ability to speak in tongues. Now I know I'm a Christian because I speak in tongues. This miracle is manifest in my own mouth. And the trouble is that the miracle of your Christianity is not inside of you at all. It is Jesus on the cross and on the and raised from the dead, and that is sure, no matter if you're speaking in tongues or what. That is sure and certain, and that is where our comfort comes from.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and editor of Around the Word Devotions. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
You got it, Todd.
When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time with Dr. Carl Fikentscher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We spend time with him every week. It's a regular series we call Looking Forward to Sunday Morning. He leads us through the three-year lectionary. Now, no matter what lectionary you're using, this coming Sunday is Trinity Sunday. That is Sunday devoted to a special focus, and exploration of the doctrine of the Trinity. But is it just kind of the dry doctrinal didactic teaching moment for Sunday morning? Or is this genuine Trinitarian worship? Something that's there every Sunday in fullness, the teaching of the Trinity, gets a special focus as we look forward to Sunday morning in Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.